Talk New York sports on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
See if I can keep the voice from cracking this morning.
Back in town.
McMonagle here with you on the Fan. You know the deal. I got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Rami Lavi on the other side with me. We'll be taking your calls all morning long. Coming off an interesting Monday night. One terrible game, one compelling game. And I think for both teams, us, you know, locally, the Jets and Giants, there are things to glean. And then I want to have a conversation and maybe put something to bed or finally have a talking point that you guys seem to get hung up on and you hate my take on. So we'll have a little fun before we get to what is pennant race baseball. As the Mets and Braves will open up their series, the Yankees and the Orioles, though the Orioles did nothing to make this compelling whatsoever, will start tonight. Pennant race baseball is fun, but first we start with football last night as the Buffalo Bills. Now, look, I understand how bad Jacksonville has been to start the year 0-3 and how bad Trevor Lawrence is. And we're going to get to Trevor Lawrence in a second here. But unfortunately, with the injury to Tua, this division for the New York Jets is crystallized into Bills, Jets. And it's almost unfair to put the Jets there yet. I get that, right? Jets are just getting underway in the Aaron Rodgers era. It's really been one game where he's looked himself completely. And Buffalo right now, and I don't care who their opponents have been, I understand that they don't have that go-to guy for Allen right now. But with this run game and Cook, and the way Allen is playing right now, who, for my money, I know we can have a conversation about Sam Darnold. Right, and we can have a conversation about different guys throughout the league. Josh Allen is the MVP of this NFL right now. And the Buffalo Bills, who I thought might have a step back, who are in cap hell, who defensively lost some pieces and lost Diggs, and we're going about it, this offense, who's he going to throw to? Who's he going to throw to? Everybody is the answer. And yes, over the course of a regular season, that sounds great. And when you're playing the lousy Jacksonville Jaguars, that sounds fine. You get into a big game, 3rd and 10, who you throw into? And we can still have to answer those questions for the Buffalo Bills. But right now, the Buffalo Bills are playing as crisp and good a brand of football as the NFL has through 3 weeks. And watching him perform last night, I mean, he has seemed to take it to another level. And we talked about the idea that not having a Diggs who expects the ball, not having someone and have to worry about, you know, feeding the beast, not having to worry about making sure that you get your targets to Diggs, not making sure that you have that guy and satisfy him and have the offense not run through him, but be such an integral part that you don't feel yourself as an offense without making sure he gets the ball, that it could open up Josh Allen into being even more dynamic. And we are seeing it. This was a dominant performance. Now, the Jags have been miserable. What is it, 8 consecutive losses for Trevor Lawrence? I mean, they have fallen apart since they left London last year as the 1 seed on their way to winning the easiest division in football. They have fallen on their face, and their Hall of Fame, their Super Bowl winning head coach has no answers in the postgame, talking about possibly, you know, anything's on the table. Now, they would never bench Trevor Lawrence, but he's got to be open to everything at 0-3. They're falling apart, but that doesn't change how dominant this Bills team has been. And for the New York Jets, who are going to take on the Broncos, and at the time what we felt was going to be a very easy game in Minnesota, anything but, as they are still one of the undefeated teams of this NFL, Sam Darnold in this offense, and obviously what Minnesota is doing defensively, with one of the best defensive coordinators in the sport looking to get his way back into the head coaching ranks in the NFL. These next two games leading up to that Buffalo game are going to, and this is what's fun about having Aaron Rodgers, and this is what's special about what this Jet team can be, because we haven't felt this way. I know there's been some times where the Jets have been fairly good, and last year off the game against Buffalo, and, you know, BT screaming, don't, you know, we're not dead, don't hang around like, you know, a bunch of losers. But this is legitimately right now. You are talking about, we are 2 weeks away from the first real taste of the New York Jets, Buffalo Bills battling for a division. And the Bills have two tough games coming up, which they haven't faced yet. The Ravens and Texans, both on the road, as the Jets will take on the Broncos at home and at Minnesota. And that will lead into the first pivotal game to decide whether or not, and the first real test. Now, again, Minnesota's been better. They're undefeated. Sam Darnold's been one of the talking points of the season. But after these 2 weeks, right, the easy part of the schedule we looked at with the Jets, we knew the 49ers were tough, and then we knew they had this easier part of the schedule before they hit that Buffalo game. And right now, Buffalo looks like not only the class of the division, but 3 weeks in, the class of the NFL. And they have the MVP playing quarterback. His ability to throw on the run, his athleticism, you add that with the way they're running the football right now, that is a dynamic offense, and they don't need a Malik Nabers. It'd be nice if they had one. They don't need a star wide receiver. Let's be honest, right now the Jets have one. It hasn't worked out. Defenses have tried to stop him, according to the Jets at least, and according to the quarterback, and he's been unable to get off to that dynamic start. But watching the Buffalo Bills last night, I would think a Jet fan would have to say to themselves, like, for the first time, and I know they've played well against Buffalo for the most part, and Allen has had some of his worst games against the Jets, including last year's season opener when Rodgers goes down and it felt like, how could you not beat Zach Wilson and the Jets? He's throwing the ball away. He's still prone to mistakes. Like, he's going to have to answer some of those questions, no doubt, and this Jet defense has always played well against Josh Allen. But for the first time watching that game, you could actually sit back as a Jet fan, watch them decimate the Jacksonville Jaguars, and look at it and say, all right, this is my competition, legit. This is the team I'm going to be battling for this division. This is the team that in 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, should I say, I'm going to have to play to decide who's the class of this division halfway through the season. And just the idea that, you know, we are setting up for Josh Allen versus Aaron Rodgers. These next 2 weeks are now have to be hyper-focused. And I'm not saying look ahead. You can't look ahead. They can't look ahead. You have to make sure you take care of business ahead of what is that Buffalo game. And that's what I was thinking watching the game. As someone who's hyped on the Jets, and I know as a Giant fan, I've just never heard someone talk about the Jets so much who's a Giant fan. Like, for some reason, I have to just hang in. I talk too much Giants. I talk too much Yankees. Then how dare you talk about the Mets? You guys can't. I can't win with you. But this Jet team going up against this Bills team in 3 weeks, watching the way they're playing, and we saw Aaron Rodgers last week, it just feels like, man, I cannot wait for this matchup, and they better not stub their toe against the Broncos. They better give themselves a good game going into Minnesota against Sam Darnold, because the Bills have the Ravens and the Texans, and if they make it through those weeks, you are talking about a juggernaut heading through the AFC East, and it's all about winning this division, getting back into the playoffs, ending this 13-year drought, and watching Josh Allen play the way he played last night. It is setting up for one hell of a ride here and one hell of an interesting division. And unfortunately, Tua and the Dolphins, with the injury of kind of now, I mean, 3 points last week, playing a quarterback who has no right to be an NFL quarterback in Skylar Thompson, they have eliminated themselves from the conversation. This is a two-team race for the AFC East. And then we get to Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders and his breakout performance, where he was just incredible in this game. Jaden Daniels, 21 of 23, 254 yards, 2 touchdown passes, multiple fourth down conversions, the unbelievable pass with you know, the defender in his face for the go route to secure the victory and put it right and drop it right in the bucket for McLaren. Like, just the way he played, one, for the New York Giant fan, it makes you feel a little bit better about how you performed defensively, right? You want to build off that. Now you look at, now suddenly the season feels a little bit different, right? You get blown out by Minnesota week one. Minnesota's one of the hottest teams in the NFL, taking care of business, easy wins against Houston last week, you know, against the 49ers the week before. Suddenly you feel better about that loss. And then you talk about the Washington loss in week two, and you say, hey, all right, maybe he wasn't ready to make that jump yet. Maybe you caught him early enough in the season before he started to feel himself. But this is a team you didn't let in the end zone, and they went up and down the field against Cincinnati. That's another element to the Jets thing, if we're talking about just the overall playoff picture, that you can practically eliminate Cincinnati. You want to make it to the playoffs for the first time in 13 years, you can possibly eliminate the Bengals for any kind of real contention here at 0-3, falling apart and defensively getting absolutely overrun by the Washington Commanders, who the Giants didn't allow a touchdown to 2 weeks ago. So, but suddenly for Giant fans, you feel a little bit better about your two losses. Your defensive performance against a Washington Commanders offense, we just saw, put up 38 points against Cincinnati, and you didn't allow a touchdown. And then you follow that up against the Browns in a suffocating, excellent defensive performance. And heading into this Thursday night game against the Cowboys that we'll talk more about in the coming days, maybe you're starting to feel a little bit better about this Giant team and even the terrible losses that were week one and week two. But I want to have a conversation about what we're all going to have a conversation about, because last night, the dichotomy of the tank, right? And we talk about this all the time, and you know I'm a proponent for it. And the idea on the front of my mind watching Jaden Daniels, because for me as a Giant fan, Jaden Daniels will always be associated with the New York Giants for two reasons. One, he plays in the NFC East, clearly they're going to play him twice. And the other is Brian Daboll's answer when asked in that Hard Knocks offseason edition whether or not he would trade up for Jaden Daniels, and the immediacy of his answer and the exuberance and the excitement in his face when he answered that question. And then I will hearken back to Tommy DeVito, and I will hearken back to victories over the Green Bay Packers, and I will hearken back to victories over the Eagles last game of the season, and I will hearken back to victories over the New England Patriots. And I will say to myself, were those wins more important in the moment? Which I would think any Giant fan listening, I'll tell you right now, they beat the New England Patriots. Tell me one play in that game. Tell me one play, one touchdown, one play, one meaningful moment, one anything of that game that means anything to you whatsoever, that you didn't forget about 5 minutes after you changed the channel to watch another NFL game. And these are the kind of victories that helped cost the New York Giants the ability to get Jaden Daniels. Just, that's a matter of fact, right? And as you watch him go, and as you watch him transform a organization that is now 2-1 and has instilled hope in a franchise for the first time in forever. And then you watch that first game and Trevor Lawrence and the outrageous contract he's already been given by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we talk about where the Jets were in a position to go get him instead of Zach Wilson. Both, obviously, Zach Wilson's on another level. But their victory over the Rams that ended up having them not be able to get Trevor Lawrence. And to watch Trevor Lawrence continue, and in this game in particular, you watched him in this game. I mean, we talk about regression, right? We've talked about Daniel Jones and some of his regression from the season 2 years ago, and other quarterbacks who regress, and even Young in Carolina to the point where he's benched, his regression. We've seen some of these young quarterbacks come in, force the play, and they regress. You are talking about a quarterback who last night, you could watch it as just an average layman football fan and see that his footwork was all over the place. See that even with a clean pocket, he's sailing balls well over wide receivers' heads. Like, he looked awful in this game. This is a guy who's now lost 8 consecutive football games who didn't lose on a Saturday his entire life before heading into the NFL. This is a guy, can't miss prospect, national champion. Was the one seed halfway through the season a year ago to the point now where they don't even know if he's going to play him. And where that franchise is right now with the contract that they gave him and how an albatross around that organization's neck it is if he continues to play like this and can't find himself. It's like the two shining examples of why fans will tell you, look at Trevor Lawrence, I want to win because I'm a fan. And then you'll have guys like me, and they'll say, look at Jaden Daniels and tell me how much that victory against the Patriots at the end of the year meant to you. And for me, I'm still going to fight for the other one. I'm still going to fight for the tank because I'll tell you this. Watch the Commanders. Watch the feeling around the team. Watch the post game. Watch what's going on. Watch Buffalo. You want to look at the franchises who have been helpless for years? Look at the quarterback position. We're talking about the Jets, 13 straight years without a playoff appearance, right? We're talking about finally Aaron Rodgers, finally getting pumped for a Bills game. Finally, the idea they could battle for a division and be one of the best teams in the AFC, as you saw the Cincinnati Bengals struggle. You saw Kansas City not play that well against Atlanta. You saw, Tua get injured in Miami, and suddenly maybe things are, opening up. Even the Texans, who are the sexy pick, get absolutely drubbed by Minnesota. Like, maybe things are finally there for the Jets. And why has it been so long? Because they haven't had a quarterback since Joe Namath. Why have the Buffalo Bills all of a sudden be winning division, after being a bottom seller for forever? Because they never had a quarterback. Why has Washington been the dregs of the NFC East for years? Because they've never had a quarterback. Why were the Houston Texans the worst franchise in the sport? Because their quarterback likes massages. Why? Why do these franchises fail? Because you don't have the quarterback. And if you get the right one, it transforms your organization. And yes, if you get the wrong one, it sets you back. The problem with the Jacksonville Jaguars is they paid him before they had to and before they had an answer. Same reason I'm screaming about Daniel Jones. Not because he sucks. Not because he's the worst thing I've ever seen. Not because he can't throw a football. Not because he can't win a football game. But because he's mid with a $40 million contract. That's the problem I have with Daniel Jones. So when you watch it and you watch these organizations and whether they're middling forever and awful, you can point to why. And when they suddenly change in an instant, like the Texans, like I would imagine the Washington Commanders, like the Buffalo Bills, it's because they made the right decision at the quarterback. And just look at the Giants. Look at other teams. The Giants, oh, you need an offensive line. They draft Andrew Thomas, one of the best left tackles in the sport. Did it help them in any sort of winning? Did it help the offensive line? You can be right on almost any other position. You can nail Sauce Gardner. You can nail Malik Nabers. You can nail Andrew Thomas. You can be dead right on Quinnen Williams. You can, be right on all of those positions and still lose. If you're right on the quarterback, within 2 years, you are winning games on Monday Night Football for 3 weeks. Within 2 years, you're a Super Bowl contender. So I know everyone likes to talk about the tanking, and last night it really felt on two Monday night games going against each other where you saw, wow, look what a first-round quarterback gets me in Trevor Lawrence, and then, wow, look what a first-round quarterback gets me in Jaden Daniels. And for me, watching the Giants flounder around, knowing that the last time they won a Super Bowl was led by the first overall pick in the draft, watching the Bills finally getting excited as a Jet fan, thinking about the prospect of winning a division because they have a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think, for me, I am more frustrated watching that game last night knowing that there was a possibility Jaden Daniels could have been a Giant leading this franchise going forward for the next 10 to 12 years, and instead he's in our division. Because everybody was all pumped up to watch Tommy DeVito beat the Green Bay Packers. And everybody was all hyped up to try and go beat Bill Belichick the last time they saw him. And everybody wanted to stick it to the Philadelphia Eagles in a meaningless game at the end of the year. So, unfortunately for the New York Giants, and we'll find out how this season goes, and I think Thursday is going to tell the tale. It might get to a point where, yet again, we are put to that question. And I think Monday night, as much as it can be argued both ways, the clear answer is, do what's best for the franchise. Get that quarterback. 888-808-1019. So that's the reaction to the football last night. We will get into the baseball because you know me, pennant race baseball is fun. I want to talk about Severino. I want to talk about Luis Severino tonight as he starts tonight's game for the Mets. And I want to talk about his previous big game performances for the New York Yankees and what we can expect and what it'll portend for things to come if he can give you a good game as opposed to what the pitching staff did last 2 years ago against the Atlanta Braves. So we get ready for a huge Met Braves series, a relatively big Yankee Oriole series. And of course, we start with our football teams, Giants on Thursday, Jets and Bills, 3 weeks away from what could be the most important game of the regular season. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you till 5 o'clock right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back the pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right. And the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Maybe this should have been the Clay Holmes walk-up song. Boy, it's not even a walk-up entrance song.
Rivals, us versus them, survival.
Yeah.
We must win.
You see, just about this song real quick. Like, I kind of take exception to some people because I saw a bunch at the first Monday Night Football game this year. A bunch of people. Like, I saw on Twitter. I know I don't like to overreact to Twitter. I'm sure this is not a wide-held belief. But I saw a bunch of people on Twitter saying, Monday Night Football, can you get a little different? You're gonna pull out the same song for Monday Night Football again? The same thing? Stapleton doing the same song with Snoop? Like, can we change? It's gonna be the same song this year? And I'm like, I'm sorry. Are we not the same people who go nuts about the stupid waited all day for Sunday night song that's been, 8, 10, 150 years running? Where we actually focus on what word she changes to use as to describe the game, whether it's, a gritty matchup. I love Nick Costos. He's one of the best guys for gambling. His show on The Fan in the mornings is Can't Miss Radio. I think he does a great job. He's obsessed with the song. Every night, Sunday Night Football, he's tweeting about it nonstop. Like, bro, the song isn't good and the line is stupid. And I hate to harken back to Francesa, but he said it first. He's 100% right. Sometimes he's right. Although, I don't know. Back after this, the Twitter handle is still dedicated to putting out Francesa content. It's amazing to me. But he just put out...
He does Cowherd, too, now.
Yeah, he does Cowherd, too. Mike was one for five in his baseball over-unders this year. That's impossible to predict. But it's just, you know, when they have a chance to get him, they'll go out and get him. But
did you see the dog commercial tonight?
They no,
did, like,
I
did. A commercial for a certain gambling platform. You know.
Yeah, that's fine. Don't say it.
And he was in the commercial.
I did not see that. Just him or
no,
him?
No, no, no.
Like
he's
his
with
voice.
Stephen A. and he's with
okay,
the other
so
personalities.
They show, okay, yeah, yeah.
But it's him, Greeny, Stephen A.
No, I didn't
I
see that.
I bet Mike's watching that at home, though. I'm sure he loves
yeah,
that.
Well, unless, yeah, I mean, but Mike's good doing his podcast. Mike's, you know, older. And the dog's, you know, fairly younger. I don't know how much younger, but you know, Mike would, I'll never forget Mike going nuts about it. Waiting all day for Sunday night.
Yeah,
I've been watching football all day.
He just reposted this. Funhouse did recently.
Did he really? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, it was so funny. It was so funny when he went, it's the dumbest thing in the world. Waiting all day. Who's waiting all day?
I think there's like a cartoon, like caricature version of it on YouTube.
Yeah,
of
well,
Mike
there was
doing that rant.
Yeah, there was a guy who made cartoons, and there was like a handful, and that might have been one. But yeah, Mike went on a great rant about that the song, and he's 100% right. Who honestly is waiting for Sunday Night Football? Again, if it were me, I would get rid of Sunday Night Football. That would be the one I get rid of. If I could get rid of one, I add a Friday game and get rid of Sunday Night. Seriously, I've watched football all day. I don't need the Sunday night game. I really don't. I've watched football all day. I don't need the top off at 8:30. I watch it. I enjoy it. The matchups are always good. But that, if you get rid of it, you'd make the Thursday night matchups better. You'd make whatever night you did better. Like, I don't need Sunday night football. Not only am I not waiting for it, I could wait until Monday for it, to be honest with you. I'd rather have more. Like, and I did think the two Monday night games worked. I know they've done it before. I don't know. I always remember them stacked like a late night West Coast game where like Greeny, you mentioned, would be on the broadcast. It would start at 10 o'clock or whatever, the second game. But as much as you want to watch all the games, I do think for Monday night on these early season, and I guess next week they're doing the same thing, before the byes kick in and all the teams are playing, I think you can manage watching two games, especially because if it happened like last night where one's a blowout, and you can just, you know, barely pay attention to it. You don't have to pay attention to it. They're running all over the Jags. You could switch to the other game.
People are complaining about that, but they'll watch eight games at once on Sunday.
Right, exactly. But I liked it. It does. It eliminates it. It gives you a 50-50 chance of having a good ball game. And yeah, then there will be the off night where they're both compelling games, and you're forced to pick. But I thought it worked, at least for last night it did, because I was off the Bills game and onto the more compelling game. Watching Joe Burrow and this Cincinnati Bengals team just absolutely get overrun. I mean, what's going on in Cincinnati? I mean, one, they always seem to get off to these terrible starts. Joe Burrow is winless in week two in his career. He has never won in week two. I saw that the other day. Like they always kind of get off to these slow starts, and then he either gets injured or they rally. But 0-3?
It's worse than that. They're 1-9 now in their first 2 weeks together as a head coach quarterback.
Yeah. No, it's brutal. Brutal. I don't know why they get off to these slow starts. But, I mean, 0-3 puts you in a bad spot, in a tough division there, where I don't know if I trust the Steelers necessarily, but you got the Steelers 3-0. You got the Ravens who, you know, offensive line's a little flawed. The defense might not be as good as it was in previous seasons, and certainly the offense, although I do like Flowers, the tight end position right now is absent. I don't know what's going on with Andrews, even though likely was brilliant in the opener of the season. When they're in trouble, they resort to running the football, and I don't know why they don't do it more often. But, I mean, that's a tough division to fall behind 0-3. The Browns stink, thankfully for them, but that's a tough division to fall behind 0-3. So I that's why part of my open was the Jets, man. You've got the Bengals now 0-3, who are perceived to be one of the top teams in the AFC. You've got the Dolphins, who you're going to be battling with. A lot of people thought the Dolphins were going to win the division, who all their speed and all their talent means nothing if you can't get someone to distribute the football, and they don't have one. And, like, right now it's just set up. These two teams are going to battle for this division. They meet in 2 weeks. And the Jets are playing the Broncos and the Vikings, and the Bills are on the road for both the Ravens, who are 1-2, are going to be desperate for a win, and then the Houston Texans, who were, we know how talented they can be, despite a poor performance against the Vikings last week. So this is an opportunity for the Jets to be in a better position heading into that game against Buffalo, even though Buffalo right now is the early leader for best team in the NFL. And Josh Allen is the early leader for MVP. And that performance last night, I mean, they just had no chance. The Jags had no chance. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mike in East Rockaway. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you? You just made me laugh when you did that whole thing about Francesa hating the Monday night, the Sunday night football.
Yeah, yeah, that was very funny. Who's waiting around all day? I've been watching football all day. Who's waiting? Oh, yeah. Like, I had my TV off, sitting there twiddling my thumbs, waiting for Sunday night football.
I got to push back on you about one thing, though, bro.
Yeah.
The Jets have had quarterbacks since Namath.
Mm.
Mark Sanchez and Vinny Testaverde.
Vinny Testaverde for one season in 1998. Yeah, maybe. Mark Sanchez won them road playoff games, and you can't quibble with that. He's won a ton of road playoff games. They did that with their defense and their run game, and he just made enough plays. He wasn't going to win them football games. I'm sorry. He wasn't the likes of Rodgers and Allen. Like, he wasn't a generational talent that was going to lead you to 11, 12, 13 wins a year. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
And I'm getting all revved up about the Jets Bills game, but correct me if I'm wrong. Don't the Jets play the Vikings overseas?
Yeah, I think, is that the game in London? Yes.
I'm afraid of some, you know, like, lag on the way back.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's definitely a possibility. We've seen teams go there and be affected. We've seen teams go there and dominate and come back just fine. I mean, we will see. But, yeah, I mean, that's a tough week to then follow it up with Buffalo. That is fair. But I'm more concerned about not stubbing my toe or getting beat by a Vikings team that, honestly, Sam Darnold has been one of the, you know, surprises of the NFL this year. That Viking team has been one of the surprises of the, I mean, listen, look at their last two wins. They've taken down the Niners and the Texans, two of the top five preseason favorites to get to the Super Bowl.
Well, that would be perfect Jet irony that Sam Darnold beats them.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. I mean, it's not, I mean, and thank you for the call. That would be perfect Jet irony. But like, this, see, like, that's what I'm talking about. That comment right there is why they need Aaron Rodgers and they need to win. Like, we need to get away from perfect Jet irony, whatever that means. Like, there are a bunch of failed quarterbacks in this league, right? The Jets are not alone in the idea that a quarterback has failed and then found success in other places. Like, but that would be perfect Jet irony. And I'm not knocking him. He's not wrong. But they need to get away from that. And the only way to do it is to win. Like, that's it. The Jets need to win for so many different reasons. It's more than just, you know, they owe it to the fans, or more than just, you know, that's the purpose of a franchise and that's how you make money and sell tickets. They need to win to wash the bad taste, not only out of Jet fans' mouth, but have like us as a collective NFL fan base, media, inner workings, like. The Jets need a winning season to be the biggest intermezzo of all time. Right, we just need to wash and cleanse our palates of the stink of what the Jets have been for 13 years. And no, I'm sorry, you haven't had a quarterback. Not like this. I know Vinny could sling it with the best of them. You could probably roll out of bed today and throw the ball 60 yards. I get it. He's one of those arm strength, generational arm talents. But, and as good as they were in that 98 season, the next year, obviously, famously, he tears his Achilles, and you never saw it again. And Chad Pennington won football games. Chad Pennington was a quarterback, you know, almost the opposite of Vinny Testaverde. No arm strength whatsoever, but could run that, you know, West Coast offense, could get the ball out quick, make smart decisions. Like, Pennington had good years. They had Brett Favre as one of the quarterbacks of the franchise. And then, obviously, although his hubris and not wanting to admit injury and keep his streak intact cost them, where they were 8-3 and ended up missing the playoffs. And then, obviously, yeah, Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez was a serviceable quarterback who, along with that defense, managed to not lose games. And that's probably unfair considering he beat Peyton Manning on the road. You know, he beat Tom Brady on the road. I mean, those are impressive victories, no doubt. But ultimately, you know you weren't seeing quarterback play like you saw last week. Like, you just weren't. It's been a long freaking time. Sam in Ridgefield. What's up, Sam? Sam?
T-Mag, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you? Scared me there for a second.
I'm good.
Everything good with
My
you?
My bad.
That's okay.
I'm good. How about you? Long time no see.
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing just wonderful.
Great, great. Okay, so I don't like to disagree with my favorite host.
Okay.
But I will see. When I work on Saturday, Sunday, Friday, right?
So mm-hmm.
When I get home on Sunday, it's nice. If I get home at 9 and I get to watch a half of football from the late night time. So I'm right. Speaking up for the weekend Warriors.
I guess that's fair. There are people who unfortunately miss all of football Sunday and want to at least experience that a little bit on Sunday night, I suppose. I'm not trying to take the game away. I mean, you could add it to Friday night or get better matchups on Thursday night. It's not like you never see football other than that, but I hear you.
Okay.
I get you. Yeah. I just think, you know, for the most of us who are off on Sunday, we get a lot of football, and I don't need that other game, nor am I waiting for it all day. That's for sure.
No, I agree. And when I'm off on Sunday, I'm sure I'll probably say the same thing. I'll be a hypocrite.
Right.
But,
and also, I got my wife is like, all right, so can we watch something tonight? Like, what's the HBO show that's on Sundays? Or, like, what are we doing? And I'm just like, oh, yeah, no, it's Atlanta and the Saints tonight. So I'm busy.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough to own the TV all day long and then on top of that say, oh, and we got Sunday Night Football. Like, it's hard to watch all of it. Yeah.
I hear you. So bonus question. What made Mac the Knife the intro song? I love Bobby Darin. Guy's an absolute magician musically.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm gonna hang up after this one. Knicks Randall post. Love Randall. Okay. Love the team. We got a great squad.
Uh-huh.
Great squad. Obviously, Leon Rose is a magician. We see those posts. You know, I saw it live. Think about that, T-Mac. I'll hang up. Go ahead, Randall.
Okay. I'm sorry. I sleep during the day sometimes, and the only Knick news I saw was Mitch Robinson, which I was going to get to. Did Randall have a post? I apologize if I'm missing something. And now Rami's taking a phone call, so he can't help me out. I don't know. But let me answer the question just on. Let's get into Mitch Robinson then. Obviously, Mitch Robinson heard today. It's puzzling to me. One, you know Mitchell Robinson's history. He's going to miss games. This doesn't scare me really at all. Like, I don't think it affects the team all that much. They'll have plenty of time to try and get someone else in the room over the course of the year. Maybe some guys will drop off teams. They'll have time throughout. Like, I still think they're talented enough to still be a very good regular season team that's going to bring a bunch of different matchup problems. You know, they'll have Sims. They have Achua who can guard a little bit. Obviously, they have other guys who can defend the five a little bit. Randall, you know, can defend the five a little bit. I mean, it's not impossible. And I just think offensively they're going to be so good, they're going to cause dramatic matchup problems that you might see teams go small for a while. But here's the problem. This is what we said about Mitch Robinson at the start of the year. That's why I wanted to try and trade him and move on from him, because unfortunately he doesn't stay healthy. You know he's going to miss 35 games. So whether or not, if you haven't heard the news, he's not going to be ready until December, January from his last year's ankle surgery with no new real injury. Just, hey, yeah, you know, it's not a normal time frame, I don't think, for an ankle injury. It's not what everyone was expecting, but suddenly it's going to be January or probably later, who knows. And then when Mitch comes back, he's going to get hurt again, and hopefully they have him healthy for the postseason. But I don't, as a Knick fan who's excited for the season like you are, I just don't think that missing Mitchell Robinson to start the year is anything that's going to make me feel uncomfortable about this season. I mean, again, Ananobi could probably guard. He was on Embiid last year's postseason. Now Embiid wasn't 100%. And sure, is that a matchup problem if they face the 76ers again and you have a healthy Embiid and you don't have a rim protector, you don't have someone who can defend a five like that? Yeah. I mean, they'll probably have to find someone, but they managed to get through it last year. And right now, I'm just so excited for the season and the dynamic nature that this team can be with the addition of Bridges that I'm really not hung up on Mitchell Robinson. Now, you're saying there is no... Do you understand what he meant by the post at all?
I did see this going around a little bit that people were saying that at Madison Square Garden, at the shop, they were selling Mikal Bridges jerseys and obviously Brunson and everyone else, but they didn't have the Julius Randle jerseys up. So, but I didn't see Julius post anything about that. So I know that people have been turning that into a narrative.
That they're not selling Julius Randle stuff, but they are selling Bridges stuff.
Yeah, he hasn't played a second on the team. And what is the what kind of messages to send to Randle? Are you trying to move him? What's going on? I don't know. Stupid. He's a huge part of this team.
Of course. I mean, that's ridiculous. Who knows why? Maybe because, you know, Randle hasn't played in a year and Randle had, you know, Randle's jersey's been on the shelf for forever and they figured, let's get the new guy out there. People might want to buy that as opposed to a fourth Randle jersey or shirt. Like, I don't know. People are funny. But I didn't see anything regarding Julius Randle other than looking forward to having him back. Looking forward to what this squad can do. I'm excited for basketball season. I mean, that's, you want to talk about what Rodgers does for the Jet fan, just think about what a good Knicks team does for this city. Like last year, it ended up being phenomenal, right? After the Ananobi trade in January, they just go off on this tear and then into the postseason. And really, Jalen Brunson takes that next step from, wow, he's much better than we thought, possibly a star, should be an all-star, to suddenly, you know, talking top 10 in the game. Like he made that jump and it became something. But heading into the year last year, we didn't have a feeling like this about the team. The expectations were playoffs for sure, but not NBA contender, not NBA finals contender, not Eastern Conference champion contender. Like they weren't viewed that way. This is going to be the first year where you really head into the season with expectations to be the champion of the Eastern Conference. This is the first time we're heading in, it feels like, wow, it's the Knicks and the Celtics. I mean, the Knicks are as good as anybody in this conference. And there's a legitimate chance that they have a world champion roster. This is the first time in forever. So I can't wait for the season to start. I'm not hung up on whose jerseys are selling in what store. But, you know. Michael in Phoenix. What's up, Mike?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good. How are you, pal?
I'm good. I was watching SportsCenter tonight, and I saw these teams, and Cincinnati seems to always start out bad for some reason. I don't know what is with them, but what I was interested in was how it would play out statistically now that there's an extra playoff team and an extra game. If we went back to the, you know, through the Super Bowl era, what would the statistics show if we plugged in those variables?
For, an 0-3 team making the postseason now that the postseason is expanded?
Well, and the fact that there's an extra game.
Right.
Those two variables, I think, are fairly significant, and it's interesting to me because, obviously, we both know, I mean, anybody who's been a football fan for the last 30, 40 years knows that 0-2 is bad. 0-3 is you're pretty much out.
Yeah.
But now, like I said, with those two variables in mind, and I'm not a mathematician. I'm assuming you're not either.
No.
But it would be very curious to me if you guys had anybody who could plug those variables in and see what the changes were.
Yeah. Go back through. Go back through history.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Having trouble clearing my throat.
No worries at all.
Go back through history and find out how many teams. Obviously, 0-3 teams didn't make the postseason or whatever. But with the extra team, it's not so much the extra game; it's just the extra team. The extra game is built on the idea there's an extra team. So it's the extra team, and how many playoff teams would there have been who went 0-3 with the extra? Who was the how many 0-3 teams were the first team out? You know, or the last team to not make it? Yeah.
The extra game is an important variable because you know, like I said, you have an extra game.
The extra game is there because they added a team. Like, the extra game doesn't, you don't have to say it.
Saying.
It's redundant. It's the extra team. The extra team is why they play the extra game. It's not like they have an extra team and they play
Fair
an
enough.
Extra game. It's just, that's why
Fair
they,
enough.
That's why they play the extra game. It's because they have the extra team. So you don't need, I mean, it's not wrong. It's just redundant. All you have to say is now there's an extra team each conference. So with the extra team, how many times throughout history would an 0-3 team make the playoffs? Well, you look at it now and you go, wow, look at these numbers. An 0-3 team makes the playoffs, you know, 1.5% of the time. But actually, it's more like 2.7. Like, I understand your point. I don't find it that interesting. The point is 0-3 sucks. And typically, again, I don't know why I'm struggling to clear my throat. I apologize. 0-3 teams don't make the playoffs. One, because they're 0-3. But typically, 0-3 teams are bad. Like, that's it, too. You don't expect the Bengals with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase to be 0-3. You don't expect Super Bowl contenders to be 0-3. And most of the 0-3 teams were successful this week. Up until Monday night, where the Jags and Cincinnati stubbed their toe, but Baltimore, the Giants, there were a couple of 0-2 teams that avoided 0-3. I think I saw they were 6-1. I think it was 6-1 heading into tonight, 0-2 teams. I got to double check, but I thought that was the stat this week.
Well, here it is.
At least against the spread. The Broncos won.
The Giants won. Carolina won. The Rams won. Indianapolis won. The only team that lost was Tennessee.
Tennessee, right. So it was 6-1 heading into last night. Or 5-1 heading, whatever it was.
6-1.
6-1. 0-2 teams, not even just against the spread, straight up. So typically, you avoid 0-3. And to have it be the Jacksonville Jaguars, who just gave their starting quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, an enormous contract when they didn't have to. Like, you want to talk about incompetence. Like, he was a part. Now, I know he was injured at the end of last year. But they fell apart, and he was awful. Why in the world would you give him a contract when you didn't have to? What was the genesis of that? I mean, I guess I didn't bother to check because they're the Jags and I don't give a damn. But, like, signing him to the contract first year, could they manipulate the cap and you know, be able to get him on a lesser number than the fourth year of his deal or whatever the case may be? Maybe. Like, maybe that's why they did it, because they knew they were going to have to pay him anyway, and it saved them some cap room this year. I suppose that's plausible because of how, as Tiki Barber likes to say, fungible the cap is. It's absolutely nonsense, to be honest with you. The idea two years ago, the Rams were coming off the Super Bowl. The Rams gave Donald the biggest contract any defensive lineman ever had. They gave Kupp the biggest contract a wide receiver ever gave. They gave their Super Bowl quarterback a huge extension and contract at the quarterback position. And they hadn't drafted a first-round pick in 5 years, and they were $16 million under the cap compared to the year before. How is that possible? How could they literally give the biggest contract twice over and pay a quarterback and be $16 million better off than they were the year before? The cap makes no freaking sense. Nor do I care to explain it. I'm not one of those hosts who are going to be able to give that to you. I don't care. I don't think you do. It would be gobbledygook numbers that you would forget in 5 minutes. Just know this. Every team can do anything they want to do, pretty much. And then you pay for it down the line, or you figure it out. You have to cut someone. You have to restructure someone's contract. There's no reason why, and I heard Keith complaining about the Cowboys not wanting to sign Derrick Henry because they couldn't afford him. Of course they could afford him. You move numbers around. You play the game. Everybody knows that. Same thing with the Yankees. They should be paying everybody. They can do it. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, how you doing, man?
Good, buddy.
I'm all right. I had a football question and a Yankee point I wanted to make with you, but that's twice now that you hit on two things that I just wanted to touch on really quickly. There must be something in L.A. in the way that they do math, because this is the second time now I'm hearing about a team out of L.A. that finds a way to play with numbers, come in like a different way reflected in the cap, and still manage to do things, because the Dodgers are doing the same thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a cap. It's
there
a
must
luxury
be something
tax,
with the math.
But yeah.
Well, there's something with math in L.A. Something about the beaches.
Yeah,
I don't know if that affects their math or something, but And you know, I was going to say something, but I was going to mention something about the Knicks. I had that in mind to talk to you about it, but I thought it was too early.
All right,
you know, the thing about that Robinson thing, I finally gotten to a point where I got people to stop with this, like, let's trade Julius away talk. And now that this Robinson injury thing is a concern, all of a sudden his name comes back up now as the way to get that replacement or that holdover piece to keep until Robinson comes in. But I'm going to leave that alone because Tibbs and them seem like they are on the same kind of thinking path that I am. They want Randall in-house. So
yeah.
I'm going to leave that alone. But as far as my football and my Yankee stuff, real quick with my Yankees, or actually with my football, I'm going to say that first, and then you can talk about the Yankee thing after. Just you know, a question
go,
to you.
Go ahead.
There's two instances where this is happening, and I had a friend of mine who's a Green Bay Packer fan, and he was saying to me that, you know, no matter what goes on with Love, he wants to leave Willis where he is. And I was of the concern of the thought process that once Love is healthy, you know, Willis has been doing a good job, but it's Love's job. He's coming back in there.
Yeah, you and the rest of the world outside of your Green Bay Packer fan friend for some reason. Yes, of course.
But the funny thing is, the same kind of thing is going on in Pittsburgh. They put the kid in there because they weren't sure about
it's a completely Wilson, it's a completely different situation. It's a completely different situation. They drafted Love. They developed Love. They gave Love an enormous contract this offseason, and Malik Willis hasn't done anything. You're talking about Wilson, who's failed in Denver.
That's what I said.
It's not nearly the same situation. It's completely different.
That's what I said. That's what I told him because he tried to make that as a point.
No.
But to get to my Yankees now, you know, the other day we were talking about something and I put something to you. And I still think that a little bit of what I was saying had some truth in it. But it seemed like you won the argument overall because the day after you heard about the stuff with Jay Cousins and all the stuff like that.
Yeah.
The scary part is that now they're talking about today. I saw a story about him being on the DIL. And there's a concern that, you know, I'm just hoping that this means that they're just sitting him down for right now, but it doesn't jeopardize his postseason.
Boone, and thank you for the call, Val, with Cousins. Boone kind of made it seem, and the Yankees kind of made it seem like it's precautionary. And that they just want to sit him, that the timeline works for him coming back. Because you got to remember, the Yankees, most likely, all they need is one more win or one more Baltimore loss, are going to win the division. They have a far better record than the Astros. So even if they don't win the one overall seed, they're getting a bye. They're not going to have to play in the wild card round. They're not going to have to play until next Saturday. So the timeline, the IL won't be an issue. He'll be able to be on the roster by then. And it feels like, and what you've heard from him and the Yankees is he could possibly pitch through it if it were the postseason right now. But why bother? I don't know. But Cousins is an important piece. And if they lose him, this gets back to my Clay Holmes thing. And I heard, driving in, I think was it Bruce trying to get on me for my Clay Holmes take? I know Keith and I feel differently on it. Clay Holmes is no longer someone you pitch in the ninth inning, clearly. He's not even someone I would pitch in the eighth inning. But in the way postseason works, these starting pitchers have extremely short leashes. You could get into a situation where Luis Gil is getting pulled in the fourth, fifth inning of a tight ball game. You're not going to make it on just Weaver and Canely, like, and Hamilton. Like, you're going to, not every night. Like, I agree. Let's use Clay Holmes less. He should be in less important situations. If you get through the seventh, certainly no reason for Clay Holmes. But they're going to need him. He's better than, and I heard Keith say Marcus Stroman. I don't know what starting pitcher they're going to put in the bullpen. I don't, but I don't. Like, you think they're going to come in and be great? We saw Marcus Stroman needs to nibble around the strike zone to be effective. He can't throw strikes and be effective. He doesn't have that kind of stuff. I'm not pulling Marcus Stroman out in the bullpen in the sixth, seventh inning of a tight game. What are you, nuts? I can't trust him to get outs there. I need someone who can, as much as we say about Clay Holmes, and I'm scared to death of him like everybody else is now, I'm on board. At least he could come out with his best stuff and get people out. Stroman hopes you get yourself out. I can't do that. And we saw, other starting pitchers fail in the bullpen in previous years. Clark Schmidt gave up hits in the bullpen. We were screaming, why is Clark Schmidt in the game 2 years ago? You're going to need him. I'm not saying the ninth, not even saying the eighth. Hell, I'm not even saying necessarily the seventh. But if you think you have better options, four or five guys, especially with the Cousins injury down the line, where Clay Holmes can just be avoided completely, I disagree. 888-808-1009. Quick break. Then we'll have Marco. We'll come back. Mets, Braves. Pennant race baseball is fun. We'll get into it next.